Thanks for tuning in to the Secret Ingredient Podcast from Digital Sandwich, where we believe that everyone has a story behind their story, and that is where the secret ingredient lives. Unleashing the secret ingredient through a combination of personalized custom content, social media, and paid advertising is the very best way to build the relationships that you need to grow your business. With that being said, let's see what's in the kitchen and find out this week's secret ingredient.
Welcome back to the Secret Ingredient from Digital Sandwich, where I am joined today by the one, the only, Yukon Cornelius.
Oh, yes.
Mr. John Seit. Now, this should be an interesting one, as literally I have no idea where our conversations go on any given day. So your guess is as good as mine today. John's done a little bit of everything, like literally everything. Manufacturing, punk rock. That's actually another one of your nicknames.
It is.
Beacon geofencing stuff, cannabis stuff, software, medical, pharmaceutical cannabis stuff. I never did understand that one. I've had people in the office telling stories about otters because of you.
Oh, my lawyer?
That would make people not like otters, actually. I mean, they're cute, but apparently they're killers.
only the river otters.
The river otters are awful when they escape into a broom closet.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
But all seriousness, most recently, the co-founder of Vinyl Labs, which combines his passion for music and blockchain technology, which sounds crazy, but I can also... It also sounds appropriate. So, hi, John.
Hi. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. We've known each other for a while now. How did that start? How'd that begin?
I think we met on one of my first ventures, and you sold me on your marketing capabilities, and I became a client. And then shortly after that, we became friends. So that's at least that's how I remember it. I'm sure I've blocked a lot of things out that you said.
I think that's semi accurate. We shared an office space for quite a while and have continued to. You poke your head in, and those days usually go all to hell. We'll grab lunch. I think we have stools at a local establishment because of our lunches. But it all started over business. But as often, I think you share the same experience. It may start as business, but that's generally not how it continues on.
Yeah. Well, there's not many people you find in the world that you can get into a screaming match about some kind of debate in an office, and you're still friends 10 minutes afterwards.
Yeah, absolutely. You're one of the few people that can change my mind about something, and I appreciate that about you.
Yeah, I haven't been able to do it about the shirts yet, but I'm still working. It's a work in progress.
These are gorgeous.
They are.
It's my brand, man.
I know. I love it. I honestly do. That's why I keep bringing it up. I'm just have a healthy level of jealousy.
The shirts. You should be jealous. I've accidentally created a life. I have accidentally created a life where I wear fucking pajamas to work every day.
Oh, my God. You're like a walking version of high school in the 2000s when everybody would wear pajama pants and slippers everywhere. You know what doesn't make me look like a slob? I'm wearing these pajama pants in a Circle K at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I mean, what else are you going to do on your way home from Walmart? You need some coffee.
I can't answer that question. I mean, there are a number of things you could do on your way home from Walmart at 1 o'clock in the morning.
And also on the way, too.
Okay, now that one escapes me. If I don't know. I'm a person that if I have a plan, I can't deviate off the plan.
No?
That might have been a lie.
I feel like all your plan is a deviation from the latest plan.
Nah, it's a loose construct, right? I know what the goal is.
A loose construct. Yeah. My life is a loose construct.
Yeah, and I have the goal in mind.
I think we've distilled John's life down already. A loose construct.
Yeah, I'll be here all night. I'll see myself out.
God. Oh, man. So the name of the podcast is The Secret Ingredient. And so kind of the point is, for some reason, I've been blessed in life that I end up having interesting conversations with people. And so I figured, why not record those conversations? Because it feels like everybody sort of has a story to tell, and they all have their own kind of zone of genius. You may have a few, but I'm not sure if that's on the way or to or from Walmart.
Yeah, there's a thin line between genius and insanity. So jury's still out.
So you've done a bunch of stuff, and some of that, a lot of that, honestly, did not totally seem related. But what always did from the outside looking in seem related was that it's a lot of big swings, but they were calculated big swings. You know, I think of like a baseball player, and you got the home run hitter, and the thing about the home run hitter is he also strikes, right? But he also hits a hell of a lot of home runs. So I think about that idea where you're always looking for the next gem, whether it be like, you know, drone killing eagles.
Hold on, that one wasn't me.
That wasn't you. That was some other dingbat.
Yeah. See how that ended.
Yeah, poorly.
Yeah, exactly.
Very
Eagles,
poorly.
Drones, Super Bowl. Give me money. What?
Yeah, what are you talking about, dude?
No.
It was awful. But you do end up coming across these kind of out there things, but they're super interesting. And the other thing that strikes me is every time I hear this, John's on to this. Now he's doing medical cannabis, pharmaceutical, pharmacy software stuff. And you're an expert at it since I saw you 3 weeks ago and you were not an expert at this. You know, so talk to me about where these things come from, the uncovering of the hidden gems. Where does this come from?
Sure. I think it comes from when I first went out on my own, out of manufacturing. I went to go start a company, and that's where you and I had met. And I had this vision of doing this myself and being being very autonomous with starting a company. And in the middle of that, our entire plan was taken down because there was an enhancement in Google's technology. So therefore, it just rendered everything we were trying to do pretty pointless. Mm-hmm. So that failed. And I realized very quickly that one of the reasons I couldn't pivot in time is because I was trying to do it all myself. So from that point on, I had to take a step back and say, okay, like, I know that I want to have a startup. I know that I enjoy the process, but I don't have the people around me, and I may not have all of the relevant skills. So I need to take a second seat, and I need to go find other projects that I can work within. And I started networking and started helping other people to try to realize their dreams, not necessarily mine. And the entire purpose of that was to utilize my skills while gaining others I saw people have that I didn't have, you know. So each one of these companies I've worked within, there's somebody there that drew me to it, of me saying, you know what, I can learn something from this person and their experiences, and then eventually I'll be able to use that in order to start trying to live out what my dreams are.
Well, and it appears that each of those ventures, you've acquired different skills as you've built teams, right?
Yeah.
As you've assembled these people around you, and then some of these things start to overlap, right? So all these ventures aren't completely disconnected. You met this person that led you to this person that led you to this person.
Yeah.
And you mentioned the N word earlier, networking.
Yeah.
Yeah. You don't network like most people network. Like, you know, the small local business chamber people think of networking as an after five and eating the cookies, right? The cookie eaters.
Yeah, I can't do that.
That's not what you do.
Talk a little bit
about that.
So I go all in on people, and that is a blessing and a curse. And it can be a big curse because as soon as you go all in on somebody, you are giving them every chance to let you down and use you. So I realize that you have to pick the right people. Now, the blessing part of it.
Do you know Rick Astley?
What? Oh, man. Yeah, I got. All right. All right. So, no. Hold on. Quick side note. There is a phone number that you can dial, and it immediately plays Rick Astley. So what I've been doing now is anyone who's reaching out to me that has potentially irritated me in the past of any way, and they're like, hey, can I get this guy's number? I just send them the Rick Astley number, and then I immediately block their phone number. I don't know what the results of this has been, but yeah, in my reality, it's funny.
So in many ways, you did let them down. You did give them up and desert them.
Well, desert maybe, but if you consider that let down, I feel like that's good. It's a good thing. If somebody does that to me, at least I know my place, right?
Well, yeah, it's pretty clear.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, since I go in all in on people, you have to make decisions very critically with who you're going to work with. But the blessing part of that is that they'll refer you to anyone. So because they know you're going to go all in if you choose to.
Right.
So I've gotten like a ton of really good referrals to people. I've gained a lot of really awesome mentors along the way that have helped me develop as a person and also helped me to build the team that I have now.
Right. You know, you even talk about it differently than most people do when they talk about their network. When they you have no problem saying the word mentor. I've noticed that many business people have a problem saying that, like because they want to be the ego. They are the ones driving the ship. You talk about mentorship a lot, and not from your end, from the receiving end, right? And it's just been interesting to watch again from the outside in.
Sure.
Of how you do build these teams and where you end up. So talk to me a little bit about Vinyl. Like how did that come about, and what the hell is music meets blockchain?
Well,
and you may have explained it 72 times and still I could learn a thing or two.
You know, it's funny because blockchain is kind of like a bad word in today's society because
it's not a thing. It's just a fad. It's like crypto. You know, it's
just
AI. It's nothing.
Yeah, it's a database structure, right?
Right.
So it's a database structure that I've been following for a long time. So along my career path, when I was working in IoT, we started looking at the securitization of IoT devices, because if people knew how insecure our IoT infrastructure was within smart cities and building automation, you know, they'd freak out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's terrible. So we were looking at different protocols that could secure microtransactions, and that's where I first fell across blockchain. Didn't work, but immediately I knew that it would be important. And the importance of it wasn't what the world is talking about today. It's how it manages contracts and how it manages peer-to-peer transferring of value. So that's what cryptocurrency tries to accomplish. But, you know, as everybody says, there's no backing to it, really. You know, it's all speculative.
You just said two really interesting things, and I'm going to try to remember the first. It was two, but one is you said the transfer of value. You didn't say currency,
right?
I think that's interesting. The other thing that you said was it didn't work. That's the second time that you've pointed out that something you did didn't work. Mm-hmm. That's the other thing that I admire about you is the lack of ego there, right? So it's this didn't work, but we learned, and it led to this. And I think that's probably the biggest lesson in business, isn't it?
I mean, I feel like it's the biggest lesson in life.
Sure.
They tell you from like day one, learn from your mistakes. That's kind of how we do it as humans. And somewhere along the line, we forget that, you know, one of the first lessons is, hey, when you screw up, look at your mistake, figure out why you screwed up, and then don't make it again. It's literally the reason we have homework in school. So we can go screw up at home and then come back and figure out why we screwed up.
Right.
So I don't know why everyone loses that somewhere along the way.
Well, we forget a lot. I think we kind of have it all together in a completely different way when we're kids, actually. It's okay to dream. It's okay to talk to other people that don't look like you. You don't care. It doesn't bother you at all, right? You understand structure a little differently. And you know that that golden rule. If you punch Sally,
she might punch you back. I hope she
don't,
does. I hope
don't
she
do
does.
That.
Yeah.
Exactly. And I don't know who Sally is, but you shouldn't.
Yeah, but I hope she punches that. You back. That's all I'm saying.
She's gonna.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I started looking at blockchain, and having a venture in the music industry is something I've always wanted to do. I've been a touring musician since I was 16 years old. I've been lucky enough to I've toured all over the globe. It's been a wonderful experience for me. In the bands that I've been part of, we've had offers from labels and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I started seeing some of the...
Dude, I remember, like, right after we met, you toured for, like, 3 months in Europe.
Well,
like, that was, like, pretty quick. Or it was,
yeah,
it was
the
a couple
time
months.
Frame. Yeah, 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 it was a while, and it was... It was a great experience. You know, it was absolutely wonderful. It's my version of success. You know, mm-hmm. we get to go tour in Europe. We're doing another one next year, and, you know, I can break even on it. So that's my version of success in the music industry
sure.
from a performance perspective.
Sure.
But there is there's been a lot of developments with how artists make money and fund their careers, and there are a lot of inefficiencies right now and how that happens. And so when we looked at blockchain, we were like, oh, you know, this would be interesting if music fans could participate in ownership of music rights. And this was about three, four years ago. I started really thinking it out, and then the pandemic eventually hit, and that gave me a lot more time to think it out. And I was introduced to our partner, Nikki Fernandez. So Nikki is a songwriter and a phenomenal performer. She's performed with Brooks and Dunn. She's written with Reba McEntire. She's just a jewel of the industry. And I was introduced to her by our CEO, Wes Mason, and we started talking about the same things when it came to how to use blockchain to represent music rights. Some people were already trying to do it. We thought it was the wrong way to do it. They were trying to represent, I shouldn't say wrong, but we thought it was not the best way to do it, because they were representing streaming music rights. And so if you're going to go sell those to the market, if anybody looks at how much artists make off streaming, it's like very little. It's not even a good financial instrument in itself. And we also were very aware of how securities work, and we looked at it and said, you know what, this doesn't feel right. So what can
I remember you talking about the whole securities angle,
yeah.
angle of this, that's really the innovation. At least that's what it seemed like to me.
Yeah, I think that they focus so much on the making money part. They're not focusing on what fans of music are really looking for. So if you go talk to anyone who's a music fan, you know, what they're feeling right now is they're feeling over-monetized and disconnected. Because everywhere you turn, it's another, hey, your favorite artist will call you on the phone for $1,000. It's like, okay, is that really that rewarding? No.
And Rick Astley.
Yeah, exactly. letting you down. So we went through plan after plan, and we kept getting shot down by our attorneys. And then one day we're sitting in New York, and Nikki is talking to me, and she goes, you know, I used to go to shows, and there'd be a few hundred people there, and I would stop in the middle of the show, and I'd let the fans guide the song, and we'd just basically write a song on the spot. And she's like, everybody loved it. And that's when the light bulb went off. We went, you know what, why don't we not worry about the ownership piece of it? Why don't we not worry about any of the financial piece of it? Let's talk about fan engagement. Let's talk about how do we create a place where fans and musicians can collaborate together. And that way, music fans can now feel some of the psychological markers of friendship, such as like, you know, they feel mutual respect, like they're being heard by the artist. They feel very involved. And then
the monetization will follow.
Yeah, exactly.
Organically.
Yeah,
you figure out the solution to the actual problem, monetization will follow.
Yeah, and then from that point on, so we decided, okay, this is the route we're going to go. We went out and started pitching some clients, and ended up with partners like Jerry Wanda from the Fugees and John Loeffler from there was a former SVP of BMG, and we pitched them, and you know, John had looked at me and he's like, this is really the only kind of blockchain-esque program that makes any sense to us. So, you know, well, we're going to hop on board with you. From that time, it has completely changed. You know, we're still working on the collaborative nature of how music artists and fans work together, but we're actually going to be offering like an entire marketplace that drives connections between music and fans. We have an awesome piece of technology that'll be released March of next year. Yeah, it gives three different sections, a collaborative section for artists to use different collaborative tools. It has a toolkit like that involves digital asset management and web presence management. And it also has an administrative side where anybody who's purchasing off of this, it manages the accounting and the splits. So it's really in depth. And really what we're trying to do is empower artists to take control of their career and build their businesses with us.
Well, because that really hasn't been a thing.
It hasn't. There's a lot of segmented, products out there to achieve the goals that artists need. And this is actually for any business, really. Mm-hmm. You know, you look at how many different softwares do you have?
A lot. It's a lot. And my team's not happy about it. Right. They call me Tim the Toolman Taylor.
Yeah, and you're that's in a career path where everyone's familiar with different softwares.
Right.
You know,
it's sort of part of it.
Actually. Yeah, exactly. So now take all of those segmented products and put them in front of someone who's like a true creative.
It's too much.
Exactly. You know, it gets overwhelming. And
the industry was already kind of nasty to begin with. I mean, there's countless stories of artists just not making the money that they really should have.
Well, yes. And, you know, we try not to focus on the industry not being A, B, or C and what they do. Because at the end of the day, let's say you have a story of an artist that's saying, I'm not getting paid what I deserve to be getting paid. All right. It's probably true. Mm-hmm. But the question is going to be at the beginning of that contract, how many of the things that you're doing now did you not know how to do? So we really try not to focus on it because there's such a big gray area there. Now, what we can do rather than focusing on what's happened in the past is how do we prevent it in the future, mm-hmm. right? And how do we manage to enable you as an artist to be able to take this control of your career so you don't fall into any of these situations, whether they're valid or invalid or otherwise?
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
One of the things that I think business owners and business leaders fall into very often is they either don't have a playbook, or the other side of the spectrum is they do, and they follow it literally. We have a friend in common that just follows the playbook. It's the playbook, and so that's what we're going to do. And now it's the checklist, and so next. But in the middle of there's often crossroads, and I feel like you have encountered more than probably your average feller with crossroads. Talk to me about a time that maybe you chose the road less traveled, or the one that seemed maybe a little more dangerous. King's Highway. It's a Game of Thrones reference right there.
Oh yeah. You can take the side path there. Yeah. I mean, with everything we're doing with vinyl, that's one that, you know, we were called crazy for at the beginning. You know, it's never going to work. It's never going to, you know, no one's really going to buy into it. No one's going to believe in it until they did. Right. And now we have a team of 20. Some of those people come from major labels. Some of those people come from household names.
Yeah, you got some crazy household name folks. Yeah. Like, you'll throw names out and I'm like, man, what?
Yeah. And that took a long time to get there, though, right? It took a lot of people telling us that it wasn't going to work. It took a lot of people telling us that we should give up. And, you know, we just had grit and said, no, we know that this can be done.
Yeah.
And we know that we can do it because the company's founded by artists for artists. So, You know, it's there's a mission that's more important than ego here.
Yeah.
And as far as, you know, your plan and the plan changing, one thing I've learned is we have to surround ourselves with people that are smarter than us, right? And then you have to accept that they're going to change your plan. And it happens to me on a daily basis.
That's a big one. Yeah.
On a daily basis. I mean, we brought on a director of brand, and Tom is fantastic. He's becoming one of my favorite people. And right at the beginning, you know, he starts sending messages about the branding that we have and the messaging that we have. And in true marketing form, he's like, you know, you need less words, and we need to change this. We need to change this. And I loved it because nobody in our company had any problem with it. Everyone was like, listen, this is your lane. Like, we're going to listen to you, right? Because we knew by having you on board with us, you were going to, A, make us better, and B, bring talents that we don't have.
I think that last piece is really interesting. So, you know, I think business owners struggle with this as well. It's hire people smarter than you.
Yeah.
Number one, not enough do that, right? If they do, they don't let them do what they're supposed to do. We hire smart people and then tell them what to do.
You right? put them in a box, yeah.
Yeah, but then you just added a third piece that I don't know that I've ever heard, is you also have to accept that they're going to change the plan, not just do it their way. They're going to change the construct, the loose construct. They're going to change. They will actually change the plan, not just change the how.
Right.
They might change the what, too.
Well,
that's a nugget.
And the question I ask people that aren't willing to do that is, you know, what is the mission here? Right. It's very difficult to do if your mission is a self-centered mission. Right. We all know people to start. Before I say this, I want to prerequisite it that what I'm about to say is not bad, good, or indifferent. It's just the way people are. So some people start businesses because they want that autonomy. I was that person once, and they want to make sure that their lives are good.
Yeah.
Right. So that's a very kind of self-driven mission. So when somebody comes in to go change your plan, not only are they changing the plan, they're taking a hit at your ego because your mission involves you.
Yeah.
So when you're talking about your business, you're looking in the mirror at that point.
Right.
That's not good. You know, if somebody wants to come in and say, hey, I think that you are ad insult here, it's going to hurt.
Yep.
If your mission is bigger than yourself and you're trying to actually change things, it becomes easier, which is probably why you said at the beginning of this, you see me take bigger swings.
Yeah.
Because the bigger swings are mission critical. They're not me-centric. And therefore, when surrounding myself with other people, I don't take it personally if they change the plan, because it's about accomplishing the goal. And the goal's not me.
It's a mutual plan.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not your plan. And so it's not only okay that it changes, it's necessary.
Right, exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, when you play baseball as a kid, did you play baseball?
I did.
All right.
Well, I was on a baseball team. I would not call what I chased. I picked
works.
Dandelions and chased bees.
Oh, man.
Mostly.
You were right field for sure.
Yeah.
No offense to any right fielders listening.
It was a ship.
But, you know, when you have to change your strategy in baseball, it's not like a personal hit, right?
Yeah.
You want the whole team to succeed. You all have a common goal. And the common goal is not, I want to feel good as a person. The common goal is we want to make it to this level within the league.
Right.
Right. So that's a very small version of have a mission that's greater than yourself. And all of a sudden, all this stuff becomes easier.
Yeah, I would agree with that. The agency got a lot more fun when the business became a team sport. Instead of, you know, I'm swimming in a lane by myself. And that was and to your point, that the mission was never even really about me. I thought that I could own and create a better business than ones that I had worked for. That served the team.
Right.
Not just the owner and not just a select few at the top. I thought it could serve everyone involved.
Yeah. I mean, one of the reasons why I think we've made, at least from my perspective, why our friendship has lasted is one of the things I'd have admired about you is that you don't go into it with a self-centered view. I mean, even when you were by yourself starting this agency, it was about helping the people that you were working for. It wasn't about, I want to make Adam feel good, you know?
Right.
Wasn't looking in the mirror at the end of the day.
And I appreciate that.
I think that really started to show as you started building your team. I mean, even in the language that I've heard you say, you know, it's, you have a mission that's bigger than yourself and everybody's working towards it, and it lets you get out of your own way.
Absolutely. No, I appreciate that, and that's, I appreciate you recognizing that. But that's, I mean, that's absolutely it. You said it better than I ever could. You're dropping bombs today, John.
Dropping bombs.
Dropping bombs.
Yeah. Well,
we could go all afternoon, but we got to bring it in for a landing. So, are you ready for the rapid fire round?
No.
Good.
Okay.
Brussels sprouts, yes or no?
Yes.
Early bird or night owl?
Both. I don't sleep much.
I can identify. I resemble that.
Yeah.
Coffee or tea?
Tea.
Really?
Yeah. I love tea. I get loose leaf tea all the time. I love it.
That's why you were asking why there was the tea steeper thing on the counter earlier.
Yeah. It's also why I made fun of it, because it looked like parsley, not tea. But anyway.
Well, talk to Abby.
What? Oh, shoot. That was hers. No, I'm in trouble. Cut that piece.
Stabby Abby. Oh, yeah. Cut that out. Cut that out, Josh.
Cut that out. I'm screwed.
Innovation or tradition?
Innovation.
Absolutely. One word that encapsulates your journey?
Chaotic.
Hell yes. Hell yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, there's nothing about you that isn't chaotic.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. But it's backed by, I mean, you listen to this episode in its entirety, there's actually, yes, chaotic on the surface, nothing chaotic underneath that iceberg frickin' diagram, whatever. There's a whole lot more going on.
I say chaotic because what people fail to realize is that we're on a rock going 15,000 miles an hour, all right?
Right.
Everything is chaotic.
It's all chaotic.
Yeah, you know, we all make our little versions of reality, and then we cry when the rules aren't fair and everything gets broken. If you just accept that nothing makes sense and everything's chaotic, life gets a lot easier.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. I agree. Yeah, it's all chaos. It's all chaos.
Yeah.
All right, last one. Favorite sandwich?
Oh, man. It's a rough one. Probably a Reuben.
Love a good Reuben.
Yeah.
Turkey or the traditional? The turkey with the coleslaw?
I'm going to pretend we didn't ask this question.
All right,
Let's just leave it at Reuben. A turkey Reuben is just a turkey sandwich.
Yeah.
Yeah, a turkey sandwich with pickled cabbage on it, or fermented cabbage. I'm sorry. Not
coleslaw.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You put coleslaw on a turkey Reuben?
So a turkey Reuben is turkey and coleslaw and, I think, mayonnaise?
What kind of sociopath made that sandwich?
I don't know. It's pretty tasty, but don't call it a damn Reuben.
Yeah, it's not a Reuben.
That's not a Reuben. It's a turkey coleslaw sandwich.
Yeah, what kind of bread is it on?
I don't know.
Yeah, is it
hateful.
On Home Pride? Yeah. It's turkey coleslaw American cheese on two slices of ultra-processed Home Pride bread. Thank you very much. It's, you know, no, but it's got to be corned beef. It's got to be sauerkraut, because I'm not in fourth grade anymore.
Yeah. And good sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Thick sliced or the thinly sliced?
Corned beef. I can go either way on it.
I can do either way.
Yeah, I can do either way.
It's just got to be good.
Yeah, and I mean, we're snobs. We're from Cleveland, right?
Yeah,
it's the home of corned beef. We don't have much, but we got beef.
I was always a fan of Goodman's on the west side. You got Slimans on the east side. I like Goodman's on the west side. It's gone now.
No. That's a bummer. I never went there.
Yeah, it's tasty.
Yeah, but Slimans is good. You can get a sandwich the size of your head. And
there's nothing wrong with a sandwich.
I know. You go there and you're like, I don't know how I'm going to eat all this. And then in like 5 minutes, you just destroy the whole sandwich.
You'll be fine, darling.
Yeah, exactly. It'll fit. Don't worry.
All right, my man. Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it, dude. Always good chatting with you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Absolutely, brother. Join us next time on the Secret Ingredient Podcast from Digital Sandwich.